2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. It says, "And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come into him, he said, Take up thy son." You can be seated. I have read this, Dave, so many times and preached sermons about it. And every time I've read this, I've thought the way he did all this was weird. I didn't understand why he would do it the way he did it. Maybe you understood it all, but to me, when I read through it, I was like, that's a strange way to do things. That is a really strange way to do things. If you don't know the story, this woman from Shunem decided that she would make a place for the prophet when he came through. And he wanted to bless her, and he asked Gehazi, his servant, "What can we do?" And she don't have any kids. So he prophesies to her and tells her she's going to have a son about that time the next year. And she says, don't play with me. Don't mess with me. And the next year she has the son. And when we pick up the story, he's a little older and he's out in the field. Let me rephrase that. He's out in his father's field gathering the harvest. I think that's a key note to this story. He's in his father's field gathering harvest. Man, if there is any place that the church needs to find itself right now, is in the father's field gathering harvest. We've read and we know that the harvest is ripe, it's ready. But he said, pray that God would send laborers, workers, somebody that would go out and get them. Somebody that would go out and harvest. That's our job as Christians. That's our goal as Christians. We shouldn't be haphazardly making it through life, but we should have a goal that we can help harvest the people that God has put in our life to bring in to his kingdom. Let me tell you this. Your witness makes a difference. Your testimony makes a difference. Your love makes a difference. God wants to use you to bring them into a place where they can hear what they need to hear, accept what they need to accept, change what they need to change, and be adopted into the family. And if you don't like that, I can't help it, but to become a Christian, there's some change that takes place in your life. Can you say amen? We used to sing it like this, Jason. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to say, I don't say anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And it's not because somebody told me not to do them. It's because I understand now that it breaks fellowship with him, and I want to walk in perfect union with him. And to be in union with him means I need to walk and agree with his word, because how can two walk together except they agree? I want to agree to walk in union. Dustin, I don't preach to educate your minds. That's not why I preach. I don't preach so that you can learn more words and even certain scriptures better. The reason that we preach is to not educate your mind, but the reason that we preach is to get you to understand that you have access to the throne of God. And in that access, you have relationship. And in that relationship, there is some experience that will come out of that. And you'll have hope that this world can't stop because you had an experience with a living God. I may not educate your mind tonight, but I do want you to understand this. There is a God that wants to be in relationship with you, and you can have an experience with the Almighty God right now. This is where we mess up sometimes. As a believer, you should be taught. But the Bible tells me that you can get into a realm in the spirit where you need no man to teach you. There is a place in God where the glory of the Lord falls and the priest can't even minister. Let me try that again. There is a place, and I still believe that's possible today. If it was possible in an inferior covenant, surely it's possible in this covenant, that when we come to the house of the Lord, the Spirit of God moves and changes our lives in a way that people don't even know how to respond correctly in their flesh, and the priest doesn't have to minister because the Spirit does the ministering, because we come together with one mind, one accord to see the glory of God. Amen. My goal this year is that we understand who we are. My goal is not only that we understand who we are, we understand that we possess something. And my goal is not only that we possess something, but we can use that something for the kingdom of God. You have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have been called right for perfect for this time. And God wants to use you in this time that we live in. Amen. Go over there. Do this real fast. Turn them lights off. Turn the lights off. Dustin, hit those lights out there too. I know there's screens and I know we can still see, but here's how we're going to get rid of the darkness. We're going to rebuke the darkness. We're going to rebuke the darkness. So let's do it. Darkness, I rebuke you. Darkness, I rebuke you. Darkness, I rebuke you. Darkness, I rebuke you. And you know what? I can do that till I'm blue in the face. Well, I'll tell you what I can do. Go ahead, Dustin, if you would. I could walk over there and just turn the light on. Because here's the problem with darkness. Darkness is not a thing. Oh, listen to me. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of a thing. So I can sit in the darkness that has no substance. I'm back on Psalms 23. Can I go there for just a second? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm going to tell you, a shadow has no substance to it. A shadow, the darkness has no substance. The darkness is not a thing. It is the absence of a thing. So I can sit and talk about how evil the world is and how bad it is and how awful it is. But when I testify about how dark the world is, what I'm doing is I am condemning myself, because the problem is not the darkness. The problem is I'm the light. And if I'm not shining the light, it's not the darkness' fault. It's not. It's a testimony against us that we're not shining the light enough. Amen. Amen. Job said darkness has a place and light has a way. You can measure light. You can track light. Light has speed to it. Darkness has no speed. But you know what we do sometimes? We dwell on the darkness. Well, preacher, I tell you, in the last days, the love of many is going to wax cold. That's true. That's true. But in the last day, God's going to have a remnant that's still preaching his word, that's still shining a light, that's still proclaiming a gospel, that's still seeing people saved, that's still seeing people delivered, that's still seeing people healed. That's up to us. It's to be the light. We got to be the light. Stop cursing the darkness and be what God called you to be so that the darkness has to flee. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. That those through him might believe. How'd I get here? I'm talking about Elisha. Probably because that John 1 and 1 song is going viral. I don't know if y'all seen it or not. Have y'all seen that? It's everywhere. Somebody sing it for me. How's it go? Yeah, but they don't sing it like that. Y'all sound boring. You've never heard it? Oh, man, it's like, in the beginning, it's like, bam. And they're singing scripture. If you've heard it, raise your hand. Shane, find it. Because here's what's crazy about this thing. All they're singing is scripture. They're singing John 1 and 1. And there are people that don't like it. There are Christians that are on there arguing about the Godhead because they're singing a scripture. And I'm looking at them saying, listen, people, if you got a problem with scripture, you might want to get a different religion that you're holding on to. You might want to get a different theology. If you have a problem with me singing scripture, I'm telling you, shine the light. If the darkness complains, shine the light. I used to get nervous when people had wrong ideas about scripture. I didn't want to offend them. I want people to like me. Do you like me? Thank you. Do you like me? If you don't like me, would you raise your hand? Doug, put your hand down. Here's the problem. When people walk in darkness, and if you don't shine the light, who's going to shine it to them? Amen. When somebody says, well, I don't feel like God would maybe think that. Well, if you've got the light to shine, you have a responsibility to shine that light. Here's what I'm learning. I'm learning this, Darren. When people are looking for the truth, you can't hardly offend them. Now, if people are looking for an out, you can't hardly get them on board anyway. Amen? Back to my verses. The prophet goes up, and this boy is in the father's field gathering harvest, and he says, oh, my head, my head. And this dad did what most dads do. Take him to his mom. So they take this boy to his mom. He sits on her lap till noon. And then he dies. Now this boy was a miracle. And this boy was working in the father's field. And this boy got attacked in his head. I talking to you? Make up your mind that you're going to work in the Father's field, and I guarantee you the enemy's going to attack you in your mind. Take him back to his mom. He dies. She gets up. She says, hey, honey, send me a servant and bring me a donkey. He said, where are you going? I'm going to the prophet. Listen real close because this is important. I'm taking him back to the place he came from. The prophet spoke him into existence, and I'm taking him back to the prophet. Oh. So I want you to listen to me. Some of y'all have lost some things. Some of us have lost our praise. Some of us used to praise more than we praise now. Preacher, it's Wednesday. You can't hurt these people feeling they love Jesus. Some of us used to have a greater praise than we have now. Oh, we've been blessed and we've got comfortable in our blessings. And let me tell you what's a bad place to be as a Christian, comfortable. Somebody told me the other day that they brought their girlfriend to church here. And they got married, and so they went to a different church. And he said, I wanted to come there. He said, but she said she didn't feel comfortable there. And I said, what do you think about that? He said, I don't think you should feel comfortable in church all the time. Sometimes you need to feel uncomfortable. So we've lost some things. And in losing those things, we get in this place where we're okay. I love what Brother Eddie said years ago. He said, we've been cold for so long that when we get lukewarm, we think we're hot. She said, I'm gonna go back to where this came from. There was some anointing on that man of God. She recognized it. It's why she made him a place in the wall. So that he could stay. She recognized the anointing. He blessed her. And then she went back to him. She said, honey, give me a servant and give me a donkey. He said, where are you going? I'm going to the man of God. Well, it's not time for that. It's not new moon. It's not time to worship. She gets on that donkey with that servant. And she says, this is paraphrasing, hammer down, boy. She says, slack not for me. Don't be breaking for me, pal. Hammer down. So they get there. The servant comes out, Gehazi. He sees her. You know the story? How is everything? It is well. Wait a minute. What? What? It's well? How can that be well? You're in a bad situation. He says, oh, man. He says, listen, Gehazi, take my staff, take it out there, get to her house and lay it on the boy. You know what he did? He took the wood and he laid it on the boy. You know what happened to the boy? Nothing. Nothing happened. He came back and he said, nothing. Still no life. See, this is our problem. You know what we want to do? We want to take the staff and we want to lay it on people. Amen. Thy rod and thy... They... Well, let me tell you what happens with that staff sometimes. Sometimes that staff corrects you. Sometimes it pulls you. And this is what we want to do. You know what we want to do? Lay the staff on them. Or if you're a busy pastor, you just send some of your staff. She held on to the prophet of God, and she said, I'm not leaving without you. So here comes the prophet. He don't have a staff. He's done sent the staff, and it didn't do any good. He walks into the room, and he does something that is so unique. The first thing he does... He gets over top of that boy and he puts his mouth on his mouth. This is starting to sound like resuscitation. But I don't think he'd ever been to a CPR class. But I think he had some wind in him. I think he had some wind in him that he was getting ready to share. See, listen, people, sometimes just laying, I'm going to take this staff and I'm going to lay it to him. That doesn't get the job done. You know what we need? We need the wind. We need the spirit. Let me tell you how God did it. When he created man, he put his mouth on his mouth and he breathed into him the breath of life. We talked about the pneuma and we understand the pneumatic. We understand the wind of the spirit. If we can get the wind of the spirit moving in this place, we won't have to lay anything on anybody because the Spirit will begin to move and warm them up and bring them to a place of life. Yeah, see, I want everybody working for the kingdom. And when you're not working for the kingdom, I get aggravated at you. I make comments in Sunday school about lazy Christians. Yet the problem is, everybody thinks we're talking about somebody else. Like, oh, I wish they were here to hear this. No, it was you. No, it was on you. And I want everybody's hands to be busy for the kingdom. But I learned something in this story. The hands are the last things he touches. Working on a building. I'm working on a building. Anybody know that song? I'm working on a building. If I was a preacher, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd keep right on preaching and work on a building too. I want everybody working. I want everybody's hands busy because I don't hands. Oh, yeah. I don't think it's a scripture. In the book of Hesitations. Man, I want your hands busy. But I noticed something. The first thing he did was mouth to mouth. And when Tracy was singing, I think that song said something about, breathe on me, Lord. Is that how it went? What is it? Let him breathe on you? Because the first thing, Darren, before I can ever get their hands, I got to get their spirit. Before I can ever get you doing something for the kingdom, I got to make sure that you get some breath in you that'll carry you because, let me tell you, you can't do this on your own. You can't get motivated on your own. You can't see it on your own. You can't feel it on your own. But when he begins to breathe on you, that breath is the breath of the Almighty and it brings life. Amen. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, Holy Ghost fire. Breathe on me, yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need, Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me. Y'all know that? Man, breathe on me, God. Breathe on me. Mouth to mouth. Then he goes eye to eye. Is it making you nervous when people look in your eyes? Yeah. Well, good. This will be fun. He went eye to eye. Mouth to mouth, eye to eye. You know what? There's two ways I can go with this. I've studied this both ways. I can go with soul or I can go with vision. But I'm going to tell you this. After the Spirit does the work for you, you need to see what the Spirit has done for you. And listen to this. When you see it, we ain't gonna be able to stop you from using your hands. Watch this. If you've got nothing else to do with your hands as a believer, just put them up.
Amen.
That's what he asked us to do, didn't he? Lift up holy hands. Well, the only way your hands can be holy is if you have a spirit living to you that is holy. So you got to get the Holy Spirit to breathe in you, and then you got to see what he did for you when you were dead and you couldn't do it yourself and you couldn't get up yourself. But he began to breathe the breath of life in you, and because he breathed the breath of life in you, he bestowed his grace on us, Darren, and I labored more abundantly than them all. Why? Because I realized what he did. But it was showing me that God had a plan long before the lamb showed up in Bethlehem. He said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. He said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. You know what the problem is? We come here, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They did better on Barney. If y'all don't know about Barney, they sang with, oh, the raindrops are lemon, girl. Oh, what a rain that would be. Standing outside with my mouth open wide. They're opening up their mouth wide for lemon drops and gumdrops. Will you open your mouth wide for the Spirit of God to fill you like he's never filled you before, so that you can become what God has ordained you to become, and more importantly, bring you back from that place of complacency and death and bring you to the place of life, where you are resuscitated, where you are revived, where you are renewed, where you are restored? Will you let him breathe on you? Will you let him show you what he did for you? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but he brought you to life. That's wonderful. See you next Wednesday, preacher. No, I don't. If that's your attitude, I don't want to preach to you. I want to preach to somebody that says, man, he really did do that. No, he really did breathe life into me. And now, because he did, I'm going to do something for him. I told Sophie the other day I was going to fix my hair. She said, you don't have hair, Pop Pop. She said, you got sticks. What are we going to do, Thomas? I don't know why I'm preaching to you. Maybe because you're kind of lean forward, I feel like you're into this. You don't even care your back's hurt. What are we going to do? Before I can ever get to the hands, I got to get to the Spirit. So I can mess with your intellect, but if I don't get to the Spirit, then there's still a problem. So what do we need to do? I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to start letting the Spirit move in us personally. Well, there's a debate. We've had the debate. We talked about it. Can we speak in tongues in church? Can we speak in tongues? If there's not an interpreter, if there is an interpreter, but I'll tell you what you can do. I promise you, freedom right here. If you got that gift, get in your closet and start using it. Why? Because the Spirit wants to move. I don't want to stop it. Work on the building. But get in the Spirit first. Because when you get in the Spirit, he'll call you out and set you in the midst of a valley full of dry bones. But as long as you're caught up in the Spirit and you get there, oh, listen to this, and you see, can these bones live again? Lord, thou knowest. That's the best answer ever. Some of your husbands need to learn that. Come on, Aaron. Breathe. Breathe on me. God, let me have an experience with you. Sam, this isn't just Old Testament. Jesus took his disciples, and when he was getting ready to get everything started, the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. Then he put them in an upper room. And he said, tarry ye here until ye be endued with power from on high. And they got in that room and they started praying. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Before he ever put them out on the mission field, he put them in a place where the wind could blow on them and they could receive the Spirit. Before they could ever get out there and touch anybody with their hand, they had to have a change in their heart. And they came out of that room, 120 of them, and they were filled with the Spirit. And the world took notice, and that movement has not stopped. Anybody need prayer? Where's Simon? We'll get him in a minute. Come on. Come on, Doug. Come on. Have you been born again? Or have you been brought into a religion? Change me, change me, change me. Man, if you believe that the Holy Ghost is still able to do its work, would you help us pray tonight? Would you help us pray? Would you help us pray? If you need more Spirit, if you need the Spirit to have more of you, if you're in that place where the enemy is attacking you in your head, would you allow the anointing of God to move?